the pleasure of all reading is doubled when one lives with another who shares the same books. Catherine Mansfield. Welcome to Tea, Toast, and Trivia. Thank you for listening in. I am your host, Rebecca Budd, and I look forward to sharing this moment with you. Catherine Mansfield was a highly acclaimed New Zealand writer and poet. Born in Wellington, New Zealand, October 4, 1888, she is regarded as one of the most influential modernist short story writers of her time. Mansfield's poetic sensibility and expert craftsmanship have secured her a lasting place in literary history. Catherine's writings are known for their vivid imagery, introspective themes, and exploration of the complexities of human emotions. Her remarkable ability to capture the subtle nuances of everyday life and convey them through delicate and lyrical lecture. Despite her untimely death at the age of 34, Mansfield's legacy as a pioneering writer continues to resonate in the literary world. Today, I am traveling to New Zealand to meet up with my blogger friend, Mandy Henderson, to discuss the remarkable life and work of Catherine Mansfield. I invite you to put the kettle on and join the conversation on Tea, Toast, and Trivia. Welcome, Mandy. Thank you for joining me today to discuss Catherine Mansfield.
Kia ora, Rebecca. It's lovely to see you again and a great way to start 2024. I'm so pleased that you fell in love with Catherine Mansfield's poetry.
I owe you a debt of gratitude, for you were the one who first introduced me to Catherine's poetry several years ago.
To be honest, I only discovered her poetry at about the same time as you learned about it from me. I did know of Catherine Mansfield. We studied her at high school, but we were only ever given her short stories. I knew she was famous. I knew she was a famous New Zealander, but I was much more interested in Jane Austen than Catherine Mansfield. I was also given a book of Catherine Mansfield's short stories as a high school prize. I still have that book somewhere. I forgot about her, really, after high school. Then coming back to New Zealand in 1999, I had an opportunity to go to Wellington, and I thought I must go see Catherine Mansfield's house. So I did. It was very charming, and that visit renewed my interest in Catherine Mansfield, plus the fact that there was now a Catherine Mansfield Prize. There was more information about her in the general media. Her story came out mainly because of this prize, this fabulous writing prize. I was interested in her as a person, but not really as a writer, and I still couldn't find a way to really enjoy her short stories. Then one day, very randomly, I came across her poetry, and it really hit the spot. And I thought, yes, I know who this person is. I understand this person. And I think it was just the right time to get to know her and to understand her work. The poetry resonated with me. And I think it's a combination of my growth as a person and my experiences and understanding the emotional side of her journey, her feelings about being away from New Zealand, an emotional connection, which I think we all experience when we go away from New Zealand. We have a feeling and empathy to an idea of New Zealand. We may not actually physically want to be in New Zealand, but we have some sort of attachment to it.
I feel, and I sense it in your life too, is that Catherine Mansfield's poetry is compelling. It stirs us. It goes deep, deep inside who we are. And somehow we connect with this young person that lived many, many years ago that we will never know except through her writing.
I think that's right. She has a universal appeal. She was a very young person and she experienced so much within such a short time. Her own ill health, loss, and grief. It was so intense that it has the power to affect all of us, no matter what our age is. And in fact, I think the older we get and the more experience we have, the more we understand what Catherine Mansfield was going through. Quite remarkable that somebody so young could have such an effect on such a wide range of ages. I guess that's the same with many poets who die young, Keats, for example. But it is a remarkable thing that there is such power and intensity in those almost gentle poems that they can resonate through people of many ages. The genius of a poet, I guess.
Would you share and give voice to the poetry of Catherine Mansfield, the poems that resonated with you? I have been looking forward to hearing your poetry recitations.
I think it would be lovely, Rebecca, to start with Butterfly Laughter, the poem that of Catherine Mansfield's that I first discovered, which is the poem that I shared with you. This was really the beginning of our connection with Catherine Mansfield and through Catherine Mansfield. According to the Gutenberg website, this poem was written somewhere between 1909 and 1910, and I just adore this poem, especially for the grandmother. I think all of us have the grandmother. Butterfly Laughter. In the middle of our porridge plate, there was a blue butterfly painted. And each morning, we tried who should reach the butterfly first. Then the grandmother said, "Do not eat the poor butterfly." That made us laugh. Always she said it, and always it started us laughing. It seemed such a sweet little joke. I was certain that one fine morning, the butterfly would fly out of our plates, laughing the teeniest laugh in the world, and perch on the grandmother's lap.
Catherine reminded me of my childhood eating porridge with my grandmother. But I was very interested, Mandy, in the grandmother. It's not my grandmother, it's the grandmother.
That's right. I love the way that she expresses that, because I had a grandmother who was the grandmother. And then I had another grandmother who was the sweet, charming, kind, affectionate grandmother. But it was the grandmother who made the biggest impression. But it's also a lovely way that she takes something very personal and extends it to everybody. I remember my grandmother, the grandmother, in the kitchen and the porridge she made and the delicious sausages and the cream she always saved for me. It brings back so many memories of my childhood. It's really delightful to read. And in the Gutenberg file, Butterfly Laughter comes first and then the candle. And I just think they are so good because the Butterfly Laughter is in the morning, porridge with the grandmother, and then the candle, which is the evening time with the grandmother. And I think they go so well together. The candle by my bed on a little round table, the grandmother placed a candle. She gave me three kisses, telling me they were three dreams, and tucked me in just where I loved being tucked. Then she went out of the room and the door was shut. I lay still, waiting for my three dreams to talk, but they were silent. Suddenly, I remembered giving her three kisses back. Perhaps by mistake, I had given my three little dreams. I sat up in bed. The room grew big. Oh, bigger far than a church. The wardrobe, quite by itself, as big as a house. And the jug on the washstand smiled at me. It was not a friendly smile. I looked at the basket chair where my clothes lay folded. The chair gave a creak as though it were listening for something. Perhaps it was coming alive and going to dress in my clothes. But the awful thing was the window. I could not think what was outside. No tree to be seen, I was sure. No nice little plant or friendly pebbly path. Why did she pull the blind down every night? It was better to know. I crunched my teeth and crept out of bed. I peeped through a slit of the blind. There was nothing at all to be seen, but hundreds of friendly candles all over the sky, in remembrance of frightened children. I went back to bed. The three dreams started singing a little song. It reminds me so much of my childhood and all the shadows and the things that seemed to move in the room, listening to the creaks. I'm not sure I was ever brave enough to look out the window. I love the way she starts with the candle and the bed, something very small. And then she takes the story out from that tiny little place, out into the room, and then out to the sky and the stars. And then she brings it all back again to the bed and the little dreams. It's something that she does all the time, and it's just beautiful. And again, as I said, it reminds me of my childhood. I'm not sure how children in many places today experience that fear, because we had no street lights. Once the lights were out, our environment was very dark. And that is what I get from this poem, the candle and the dark. It's something rather special to have that poem and to be able to connect it to a personal memory.
A poet writes poetic words, and those poetic words fly out into the universe, and it finds the person who needs to hear them.
Yes, I think so. The way for us to connect. Occasionally, a poem will resonate with me. I feel connectedness with this poem because it speaks to a yearning to see somebody or to be in touch with somebody far away. And it reminds me again of my own family in the past. For example, my ancestors who came out to New Zealand and probably never saw their family in the UK or Scotland again. And I just imagine the yearning to hug a mother or to talk to a grandmother, something that was unlikely to happen, and not be able to touch those people, to be with them in their times of sorrow or pleasure. The gulf. A gulf of silence separates us from each other. I stand at one side of the gulf, you at the other. I cannot see you or hear you, yet know that you are there. Often I call you by your childish name and pretend that the echo to my crying is your voice. How can we bridge the gulf? Never by speech or touch. Once I thought we might fill it quite up with tears. Now I want to shatter it with our laughter.
I think that that encapsulates what she was saying, and I believe that connection with New Zealand was never lost. Although she was in the UK and she passed far, far away from her home, she was always there in spirit.
I believe she was conveying this kind of separation from her family in New Zealand, perhaps particularly her brother. Even though this was so long ago, it happens for us today too. We long to be with our loved ones. We can talk to them. We can connect with them very easily with the technology we have, but we still can't touch them. We can't be near them. I really feel she's captured something about the human condition here. One more thought that occurs to me with the Gulf is not necessarily a physical separation. You could be in the same room with somebody and still experience this gulf of silence. She may also have been referring to that gulf, a bridge that you can't touch, a friend, even somebody closer than a friend. There is that gulf too.
I believe that the gulf is poignant and relates to us today.
Yes, quite remarkable. Her sensitivity to everything around her and her ability to describe it all, to capture it all, it's just wonderful. Her writing, which is very underexposed. I think people would appreciate her more if they had more access to her poetry. It's always been her short stories that have been held up as examples of great literature, which they are, but for sheer pleasure and sheer enjoyment, it's poetry, it's her poems that appeal to me.
And she captured all of this at a young age.
That's true. So it's lovely for me to be able to read these poems to you and to share them with you. According to my father, my grandmother loved to recite poetry. She only had a very short education, finished primary school, as was the way in New Zealand, but she loved reciting poetry. She could do it by memory. And she passed on this love of poetry to my father. And he too could recite poetry from memory. But at least I have made an attempt by reading these poems to continue the tradition of the grandmother.
Mandy, I believe that your the grandmother and your father would be very pleased with your recitation today.
It's a lovely way for us to bridge the gulf.
Today we have shared the pleasure of reading her poetry.
Certainly did. It was a wonderful conversation.
And it was such a joy to close my eyes and just listen. What came through in your reading was your love for Catherine Mansfield and for sharing and honoring her memory and legacy. I do hope you will come back and recite more poetry with me on Tea, Toast, and Trivia.
I would love to do that, Rebecca.
Dear listeners, thank you for joining Mandy and me on Tea, Toast, and Trivia to celebrate the life and work of Catherine Mansfield. Until next time we meet, dear friends, safe travels wherever your adventures lead you.